Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Welcome to the final worship service of 2024. For some of us in the room, you look back on this past year and you're thankful that we're coming to a close of this year and start something new. Others, maybe you had the most incredible year of your life. The reality is, though, for every one of us in the room, we have been allotted the same portion of time this year. And it's amazing how fast time flies. So my prayer for you and for me is that we would make the most of this hour of worship, that we would focus our attention, our heart, our minds on the Lord. And then my prayer is that God would do something amazing and new among our faith family as we head toward 2025 and for Him to do great things. So we're thankful that you're here. So here's how we will start today. I want to ask you to stand, if you will, if you'll stand. Now, we don't normally do this, but we're not having two services today. No Sunday school, things are a little different. I want to ask you to take about 2 full minutes, and we'll kind of watch the clock for 2 full minutes, and find a few people and tell them congratulations on being here the last Sunday of the year. Come on and give them a big, speak to some folks around here. Just stand with us. I have a couple of things to announce. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Understand, as we're about to sing Alive and Breathing, there's 2 things I would say to you today. First of all, I love to do this every year at the end of the year because I think it's important. Whether you did have a difficult year, a great year, or somewhere in between that, the truth is we look forward to what God has in store. He has made all things new, and that includes your life ahead. So here's what I want you to do. Everybody, really quick, turn and look over your right shoulder. Look behind you there. Come on, I'm watching you. Now turn and look over your left shoulder. All right, now don't ever look back there again. We're moving to 2025. So we're moving forward. So if you are alive and breathing today, there's joy for you, and we praise the Lord. So let's sing this together, Alive and Breathing.
What holds your heart? What stirs your soul? What matters come to mind? The cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not all wasted time. Seeking you will find joy still. In the morning, hope still walks with the hurting.
glad that you're here. If you're participating online, we're glad you found us at a different time than normal. You might be watching a replay of this later. If you are participating online, if you'll follow the prompts on the screen, we'd love to have a record of your being here and worshiping with us. We do invite you not just to watch, but to worship. Sing with us. Open your copy of God's Word and read along with us as we'll be moving through some scripture together today. We're thankful that you're here. To everyone who's in the room, our prayer is that you had a wonderful Christmas and that you're looking forward to a great new year. But here today, we get to celebrate the Lord one last time corporately together, and I'm thankful for that. I do want to give you a very special prayer request. Back in 1974, I believe, David Askins came as pastor to this church and remained pastor until into the early to mid 80s, I believe, and faithfully served the Lord for many years. And David went home to be with Jesus yesterday. And so we're so thankful for his time here at First Baptist Church. We're thankful for his ministry all over the place over the years. And we want to stop and pray for his family. And as they celebrate his homegoing later this week, I believe his funeral service will take place in Clanton, Alabama. It will not be here in this area. But we do want to pray for his family, and we're thankful for the legacy he leaves. Which reminds me, every person in this room, he was a pastor for a long time, and what a blessing he was. This coming April, I will have been your pastor now for 14 years, and I hope to stay many more years. We're not voting again, so it's over. But the reality is, all of us, you as a church member or attender, I want to remind you of something. You are the interim member of this church, and what I mean is there were members that came before you. And if the Lord tarries in coming again, there will be ones that will come after us and fill the same seats that we fill, serve in the same roles and capacities that we serve. So it's important that we understand that the time we've been given now, that we make the most use of that for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God, for the sake of the world. So that's why we do what we do together. So thank you if you have served this year. We've had hundreds of volunteers serve in multiple ways this year. What a blessing that has been. My prayer is that this coming year, we will continue to engage more people for ministry and missions here in on our campus, throughout our city, across the globe, around the world. And so we're thankful that we get to be a part of that. Let's pray, and then we'll carry on in worship. Father God, I take a moment. I thank you for the life of David Askins. I thank you for the call of God on his life to come and to serve here. Lord, we thank you for his ministry opportunities all throughout his life. We thank you that he is with you. And no struggles in his life. He's experiencing you face to face. Oh, we thank you for that. God, there are others in this room that have lost loved ones this past year. It's been a tough year for a lot of people, for our faith family in a lot of ways. And Father God, we stop and we say thank you and hallelujah and praise to the Lord for your salvation that you have brought to so many, that you have brought to fruition in so many lives. And God, we also thank you that you're still at work among us. You are still saving people. My prayer is that we will see more people come to know you in 2025 than in the combined years of this 141-year-old church. Father, my prayer is that you will allow us to be your hands and feet in our community, through the Cal Bus, through the Cahill community, through Westgate, through all the ministry opportunities. Father, you'll let us be your hands and feet across the nation with our mission partners and around the world. God, that you will allow us to give you the glory and honor and praise that you alone are worthy of, that you are due. So, Father, we thank you for that. Lord, I'm also reminded that you have not let one of the good promises you've made to your people go by the wayside. Father, you keep your promises. So may we keep Christ as our firm foundation as we seek to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, friends, let's sing Firm Foundation. By the way, Stephen McClendon was supposed to lead worship. He's sick, and so Josh is leading. Today's his birthday. We don't have time to sing. Let's stand together as we sing.
Firm foundation.
The rock on which I stand.
The rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So
sings my soul.
We thank you that you arrested death, that you brought new life to us, that you made a way that we could be free. We're thankful that Jesus is our firm foundation, the rock on which we stand, because rains have come, the wind did blow. Father, we've experienced that this year, but God, our house has been built on you. So God, may we live our lives in that way. Lord, my prayer now is as we open the scripture that you remind us that you have made all things new. So God, I pray if there's one person here that doesn't know you, that they could be made new today. If there's one person here that's walking in their old ways and they're stuck in them maybe today, that they could be made new today. That they could be reminded what you've already done. They can live out. God, you still keep your good promises. Not one has been broken. So Father, speak to us now, please, I pray. As we open your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends. Today's message is really a standalone message and honestly a little different. We won't be walking through one key passage really in an exegetical kind of way. Instead, we're going to be a little more topical, but the idea is it teaches us and reminds us that God has made so many things new in your life. Today's a reminder. And I hope the reminder leads to a revival in your life. And I hope that that is the case for me as well. I love, and I know you guys know I love Christmas and all those good things, but the truth is, I love the week between Christmas and New Year's, and for a few different reasons. And it's a great time to stop and reflect. It's a time to stop and measure what's taken place the past year, and I like to figure out the facts and figures of that, of all the year. It's a time to think about what's coming in the future and make plans for the future. I also love to open up social media or turn on the news or look at years ago an actual newspaper and things like that and see all of the facts and the figures and the minutiae that's out there that's given to us. You see, every news outlet, every station, every media outlet that's there wants to tell you statistics about the past year. I love that kind of stuff. I live for that. I was excited to read yesterday that by Tuesday night, the average McDonald's restaurant in America will do $2.8 million of business this past year, and that seemed like a decent amount of money until I read that the average Chick-fil-A by Tuesday night will do $9 million worth of business. Listen, that's like 1,000 chicken sandwiches from there. I don't know. I'm just kidding, but they're real expensive. But come on now. Y'all are not Chick-fil-A people? It's okay. The truth is, you think about that. Also, I read a statistic that said that 1.6 billion Krispy Kreme donuts have been made this year. I don't know how it works. I'm working on that franchise in heaven. I don't know what's coming, but I'm sure it's going to be great. But not all the news is good. I also read just this morning, turned on my phone. I woke up at my same normal early time and didn't have to be here so early. So I grabbed my phone, and what popped up instantly on my feed was a story from ABC News about churches closing down in America. And they talked about the fact that in the 1940s, 83% of Americans identified as being a member of a church and connected to a church that they attended regularly. And now we've moved 75 years later to a place where, let's see, I wrote it down actually this morning. Now it's less than 45% claim to be connected to a church, and much less than that say they even attend the church once in a year. And then I look at our own statistics as a denomination. We're part of the Southern Baptist Convention, and the latest, our stats kind of run behind. It takes a while to work through them. And so the latest stats that were just put out there were that in 2022, we decreased by 1,200 churches. That's three churches every single day closed their doors. Every single day. Overall membership has declined for 17 years in a row. Now, that's still with hundreds of churches being planted, but we're moving the opposite direction. Why would that be, and what does it mean? I wrote down two things that I think that means. First of all, I think it means America needs Jesus. America needs Jesus. And secondly, this is important, the American church needs Jesus. Listen, we can't place this on the post-Christian secular world we live in. That happens because believers and houses of worship don't become relevant anymore to people. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should change our message. We would never change our message. But friends, you can surely understand that we must change our methods, and we must work hard to reach out and share the gospel with people, to never stop and think, if we build the building, they'll come, and that's good enough. We always have to be willing to go and share the truth and love of Jesus with others, with our hands and feet, and mostly with our mouths, and to be able to declare who he is. So the American church needs revival. But looking back is not all fun and not all serious as well. It's also a place that allows me to stop and just reflect on God's good grace and his mercy and providence in my life. I mentioned that I like to evaluate. I'll be honest, I will take time this next week to stop and look at our attendance numbers as a church. I'll look at Bible study numbers. I'll look at decisions that have been made, the number of baptisms that have happened, our outreach opportunities where we go and do things, how many people we're influencing there. And someone's going to say in this crowd, probably, Chris, the church should never focus on numbers. Well, I want to say respectfully that I disagree. Why? Because I think numbers tell a story. I've heard someone say this multiple times, and I think it's true. There are a lot of sick people right now, and if someone's sick and they end up at the doctor tomorrow, if they're really, really sick when they go to the doctor, the first thing the doctor is going to do is get some numbers. They're going to check their blood pressure to see how they're doing. They're going to do some blood work, and they're going to look for numbers. It is perfectly fine to realize that numbers paint a picture of health. Now, that doesn't mean that only healthy things grow, and that doesn't mean that some healthy things don't decline, but the overall picture is that we can learn by how many people are coming to Christ and what God is doing. I also like to look at numbers in my own life. I look back really quickly this week in preparation for this, and it seemed like a slow year for weddings. I only conducted 4 weddings and 2 vow renewals. But listen, they're a joy. It's always fun. There is nothing more beautiful than a bride on her wedding day. It's beautiful to do so. Sadly and difficult, I conducted 18 funerals in 2024, 2 for family members and the rest for some of the sweetest, most incredible people in this church and faith family that I've ever known. And it was a hard year in some of those ways. And I considered those moments to be holy, both difficult and joyous at the same time. And you understand what I mean. Here at First Baptist, we had our final baptism of the year last Sunday. You're saying, well, Chris, what if somebody gets saved and wants to get baptized today? Well, Jesus is occupying the baptistry, so you're going to have to wait to 2025. But you can get saved today. We just have to hold off on the baptism. Let me clarify there for that. So there are 16 people that were baptized here at the church this year. What a joy, what a blessing to celebrate. 21 different families officially united with our church this year, and many more families who are attending now and hopefully looking towards that step of becoming official members with this. But then I'll be honest, there are things I'd rather not count. And so I try to avoid counting them, but the truth is they matter. If I were to stop and reflect on the words that I have said in anger to my children, I'm not going to count that. How about the conversations that have crossed the line into gossip or grumbling? Well, I don't want to recall those. How about you? How about the struggles with the pet sins of gluttony or fear or lust or little white lies, as we like to call them? No one wants to count those things. The truth is, I have been a follower of Jesus for over 45 years, but I still today, on December the 29th, 2024, 45 years after coming to Christ, I still need his grace and mercy every day. And aren't you thankful for his grace, friends? Thankful for what he does in our lives. Scripture is clear that God has made you and me positionally righteous when we receive our salvation. But Scripture is also clear that we have to learn to become practically righteous. Now, as we get into the Scriptures here in just a moment, we're going to move rapidly through Scripture. But I want to explain the difference really quickly. I like to do this about once a year. If you have been saved, if you've given your life to Jesus, if you've received his gift of salvation, if you become a follower of Christ, whatever language you want to use, let me say this. If Jesus has transformed you, then the day you were saved, you became positionally righteous. You went from positionally unrighteous. You were unrighteous. We were an enemy of the cross. We were dead in our sins, as the song we just sang talks about. But then when Jesus came and transformed us, we became positionally righteous, meaning we are holy, righteous, and redeemed. You are a son of righteousness, a daughter of righteousness. It happened the day you were saved. But there is a vast difference between positional righteousness, you're righteous in the eyes of God, and practical righteousness, you're living out the right living steps of God. There's a difference there. And so it's important that we come to understand how we move from being positionally righteous to practically righteous. I was reading in my devotion book this morning early, and that's the very thing that today's devotion talked about. It's the difference between the already of your salvation and the not yet of our sanctification. We're in the process. We're being sanctified, made more and more like him. And the difference there is all about the fact that Jesus changes everything. And friends, I want to say this. If you don't like change, you're going to hate heaven and probably the rest of your life, because Jesus, who is now in your life, living inside of you, Jesus changes everything. He continues to change us and to make us new. He continues to change your thinking. He continues to change your living, our actions. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So as 2025 approaches, let me remind you of this. If you're taking notes, God has made more things new than just the new year that is coming. I want to give you some things really quickly. First of all, there's a new king, a new king. Listen to 1 Timothy 6:13. He says this: I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who is his testimony before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Listen, Jesus is king. Amen? He is ruler over your circumstance. He is king of the universe. We just had a big election in the United States. The Albertville Aggie Band is going to be headed in just a couple of weeks up to the inauguration to represent the state of Alabama in the inaugural parade. What an honor. But let me tell you something. We may have a new president, but we've had the same king we've had for 2,000 years that we will have for the rest of millennia, and that's King Jesus. Jesus is king. He's Lord of your life. I've told this story before, but I have to tell it again, because to me, some of you, if you have heard it before, just pretend you haven't. Those of you that it's new to, it'll be new. Lily and I love to eat different types of ethnic food. One of our favorites is Thai food. And we had a Thai restaurant that we loved in Maine where we lived. And it was a little small little restaurant. But every Thai restaurant we've ever been into, they have prominently displayed somewhere in their building a picture of the king and the queen of Thailand. It's a tradition for Thai restaurants. You go find you one and see if the king and queen are not prominently displayed in a picture somewhere. They may have all kinds of other things displayed, but the king and queen will be there. So this one there in New England, it's always a special place that we would love to go and eat there. And the owner was a friend, and it was always a pleasure to go and spend time with him. His name was Kronzak. And one day, as Kronzak is there waiting on the people, not many people work there, so he was serving people, taking orders. Someone else was cooking and being a part of that, the chef there and all that was happening. But a party of college students come in, and they have come to go skiing at Sunday River, which is a ski resort in Maine. And so they've stopped on the way to eat, and so they're there eating, and he takes their drink order, and he goes back into the kitchen, and a young lady gets up from their party and goes into the restaurant, in the restroom, which is another part the building, and she's gone. And while he comes back out to deliver the drinks, Kronzak is met with a conversation by a young man in that party. And he said, "Do you know who that lady was that walked out?" He said, "No, I don't know who that is." And he told the name. I don't remember the name. But she was the granddaughter of the king and queen of Thailand. And she lived in New England and was being educated there in one of the Ivy League schools in New England. By the way, you like statistics. Here's you an incredible statistic. 4 out of 5 world leaders today, either them or their children, were educated in New England. And listen, New England has come a place where the gospel is not prominent in a lot of ways, and there's a lot of liberal theological thinking. So can you imagine if we could get back to helping that be a place of revival, how that could go and trickle to the world? Anyway, that's another story altogether, another message. But here's what I would say to you. So he finds out that the granddaughter of the king and queen, royalty to him, is in his restaurant, and he immediately drops down to his knees, and Kronzak, then, as he's displaying drinks, he intends, when she comes back in from the restroom, to stay on his knees and to serve everyone in that restaurant for the remainder of the time that she's there on his knees. Why? Because it would be disrespectful for his head to be above her head while she's sitting in a seat. Now, here's a man who had so much love for his country, for the leaders of his country, that he, and respect for them, that he was going to humble himself in a very inconvenient and very difficult way because he cared about the person who had entered the room. Now, this young lady, as she came back in, she was as Americanized as a granddaughter of the king of Thailand could be. And she said, "No, I insist you don't do that. No problem." And that was great. But I have always been in awe of Kronzak's loyalty to the royalty from his country. And I'm reminded that when I stop and think about the fact that Jesus is the king of the universe, and he is certainly the king of our hearts and the king of our lives, how many of us as believers would struggle to show that type of humility and honor? I was challenged by my friend who didn't even have the same faith that I have. I was challenged by his actions and reminded, friends, we need to live our lives in such a way that we are reminded we have a new king, and it is Jesus, that we give him the honor and the glory that he is due. And I'm not talking about bending your knees every day. I'm talking about bowing your heart every day, living our lives in the way that matter. Let's keep going. Next, we understand that not just a new year, we have a new heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, listen to what Paul says. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Listen, you are new. We've sung about that today already as well. You have a new heart. You have been made new. We do not have to walk in those old ways. The old is gone, the new has come. What we do with that now is up to us. Will we be just positional or practically righteous? We can do so. Not only a new heart, but you have been given a new mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, even though I'm just giving you short little verses, I've done my very best to make sure we're keeping them in context and not taking them out of the context of what they mean. This verse literally means that we have been given the mind of Christ. We've been made new to understand his ways. He wants us to learn to live and think and have his attitude. You've been given a new mind. Now, what will you do with that new mind? We'll talk about that in just a moment. You also have been given a new spirit. The book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 4 says this, But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. Did you catch that? God didn't save you because of your righteousness. He gave you righteousness because of his mercy. You didn't earn it. That's good news. You don't have to earn it. He gives it to us freely. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs to the hope of eternal life. Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. We have a new spirit in our lives. You have the Holy Spirit. But God also did something amazing for you. He made you a part of a new covenant. The old covenant of the scripture was a covenant of sacrifice. The old covenant of scripture was a covenant of rules and regulations. The old covenant of scripture would be continual sacrifice because we would continue to mess up. But listen to what Jesus brings in the new covenant. Hebrews 8:6 says, "But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises." The promises of the new covenant are better than the promises of the old covenant. The promises of the old covenant were going to be based on the fact that you and I would have to be holy and live holy lives. The new covenant is a covenant based off the blood of Jesus Christ and his grace and mercy. Hebrews 9:15 says this, "Therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant." What does that mean? You sinned under the old covenant before you came to know Jesus, and so you were in trouble. But Jesus gave his life. He became the sacrifice that made a way that our sins could be covered over. How about Ephesians 2:13? It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ." If you say, give me a simple definition of the new covenant. The simple definition of the new covenant is by the mercy of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we who were far off have been brought near. We've been brought near to him. We've been brought into the family of God. So you have a new covenant. Celebrate that, my friends. One more thing. If you know Jesus, you've got a new name. Now, scripture tells us there's a name that God has for you that no one knows yet. It'll be revealed in another time. But I mean, you've got a new name right now. Listen to this. In Galatians 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father,'" daddy, father. "So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God." Listen, friends, you've got a new name. Your new name is son or daughter. Your name was enemy. Your name was dead. But your name now is son or daughter. Can you believe that that is real? Listen, we've become so used to the idea that God saved us that I think, if we're not careful, we'll lose the magnanimous power of the fact that God took you and adopted you into his family. He made you new. He gave you a new name, a new life, a new hope, a new future. And God is at work in you. I'm so thankful for that. So if you have a new name, if we have a new covenant, we have a new family, we have a new heart, a new mind, and a new king, what are we going to do with that? Well, you've also been given a new commandment. Listen to these words in John 13. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another," Jesus says, "just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So you've also been given a new commandment. It involves how we treat one another. So what are we supposed to do with all of these facts, all this information this morning about being new? Well, I got to be honest, many believers have good intentions to live like Jesus, but maybe we struggle to let it blossom in our lives. So I want to tell you about three quick elements that will help you move from positional righteousness to practical righteousness today. They are building blocks for the foundation. We sang about Christ is your firm foundation. That was on purpose. Because even though Christ is the firm foundation, there has to be building blocks there of us living so that when the rains come and the winds blow, our house is built on Him. That's about application in our lives. So what are these building blocks? None of this is going to be earth-shattering to you. If you have been in church at all in the past 52 weeks, if this is not your first time in church this year, probably you've heard something similar than what I'm about to say to you. There are three things I would say you need to have as the building blocks, the foundation of your walk with Christ. Here they are. It's not going to surprise you, but we need to revisit them. God's Word, prayer, and instant obedience. Now, it's a simple plan. God's Word, prayer, and instant obedience. So my question is, will you commit to reading God's Word consistently in 2025? Can I tell you, you have nothing to lose and so much to gain from investing in the Word of God. And we always want to provide resources to help you. If you say, well, Chris, I don't know where to start in the Bible. You can start at the beginning and work your way through, but that's not always the easiest way to do it. You can start in the Gospel of John. It's a great place to start. You can start in other places. But here's what I would say. The most important thing is to start to read God's Word. I won't even take time to talk about how bad the statistics are for how much time people who claim to know Jesus as their Savior spend in God's Word. It's a very small amount of time. Friends, this word is life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. This is the word. It's living and active in your life. It is what God has given us, His word. So we must read it. So what can you do? Well, I would encourage you, first of all, to figure out a plan to read through it. Now, I'm not saying you have to read all the Bible in a year. Some of us are faster readers than others. And for some of us, that's a great goal to have. For others, the idea is just to be consistent and to be daily. It's not about the speed in which you read. It's to take in and to live it out. If you want some help with that, I would invite you to go to AlbertvilleFBC.church/Bible. You can find it pretty easy there with that exact slash Bible part. You'll get right to it. If not, it's easy enough for you to be able to go to AlbertvilleFBC.church and then just search for next steps. And here's what you're going to find. You will find under next steps, under the Bible, you will find many questions you can use as you read God's Word to help you understand it. You will find five key principles that you can use every time you read. If you read one chapter and you use these five principles, it'll help you understand it. It will also give you some Bible reading plans. There are plans to read it in a year. There are plans to read it in a couple of years. There are plans for you to go at your own pace. Some of them involve using the Psalms and Proverbs every day. My favorite plan uses some of the Old Testament, some of the New, some of Psalms and Proverbs every day, and it kind of work your way through it, slowly again, taking your time. But there's all kinds of reading plans on there, and I want to encourage you to go. If you've not started, or maybe you're thinking as we get to 2025, I want a renewed commitment. Let me tell you, don't wait till Wednesday morning. Start today. Get a jump. Go ahead and take a look at that today and begin to read the Word of God. Invest in the Word of God. I would encourage you to go there and to do this. Next, I would say this. If you're going to read the Word of God, it's so important that we begin to deepen our prayer life. And you say, well, how do you deepen the prayer life? That sounds very spiritual. What that means is you communicate with God. You spend more time with Him. One of the best ways you can kick off your prayer life for 2025 will be happening this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We have our 40 hours of prayer marathon. It starts at 4 p.m. on Friday, and it runs till 8 a.m. on Sunday morning, just in time for us to have our 8:30 service next weekend. And we're asking people to come and pray physically in the building, if you can, for an hour in this room. We'll have a few different stations set up where you can come and pray, and you can just take that hour. We'll have a guidebook to help you. You may say, I don't know if I could ever pray for an hour. We will have so much information in there, there's no way you could go through it all. Or you can just take time to stop and talk to God. But we would encourage you to do so. There'll be prayer requests there for you, things you can use, and we invite you to sign up to do that. Now, you may say, well, how do I get signed up? Well, listen, I normally wouldn't encourage you to play with your phone during church, but right now, if you want to go ahead and sign up, if you have a smartphone, which most of us probably do, grab it, and you can do one of two things. You can scan the QR code, which is right here. I'll get out of the way. You can scan the QR QR code right here, and that's going to take you. You'll see second down on the list, you will see 40 hours of prayer. You put your name, your phone number, and then just select the hour you want to pray. That's it. That's all you have to do. If the hour's already blocked out, that means that two different families have already signed up to pray then, and that was sort of our limit. The reality is you can still pick one of those hours, but there are some openings. It's Saturday afternoon or a lot of openings, and then early Sunday morning. I got to tell you, David, your wife, Paula, who has been with the Lord now for just a few short weeks, Paula was a prayer warrior. She loved our 40 hours of prayer. She would always, I'd kind of have to get on to her when we were going to have, in the last few years, we had 40 hours of prayer, 50 hours of prayer, 140 hours of prayer during our anniversary, any length of time. And I would kind of have to say, Paula, you can't take all the midnight hours. Because she would love to, she didn't do it just because she liked to be up at midnight, though she liked to be up at midnight. She would do it because she knew that might be a hard time for somebody else, and she wanted to make sure we were praying. I will miss having her on that list this year. Friends, are you going to pray? Will you sign up to do so? You're not more spiritual if you do 2 to 3 in the morning. I mean, you might be. I got to be honest, because it's tough. But I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no, okay? So you're not more spiritual if you do 2 to 3 in the morning. You can do 4 to 5 in the afternoon. And here's a little secret. If you'll see on the list, if there's an opening, it's very obvious you can sign right up. We want to cover those hours, but we're not trying to be Pharisees about it either. It's not about let's don't break the chain. It's about our church getting involved to pray. So if you want to sign up for a time that's already taken, just show up. And we'd like to cover those 40 hours, but you can show up for any of those, and we'll have a third station. There'll be one here, one in the back of the room, and one in our worship welcome area. That's the extra one. If the two are already taken, you can just show up and sit there for however long you like for that hour and pray. But friends, it's a great way to start, and I promise you it's one of the most special times every year for me to be able to stop and pray. My favorite thing to do is to pray through our church directory. We'll have a printed copy here for you. Pray for our families and to do so. And you say, well, Chris, that's not teaching me how to pray. What if I don't say the right thing? Listen, the best way to learn how to pray is to pray. It's just to talk to God, to talk about who he is and what he's done in your life, to thank him for who he is, then to ask him to change you and make you more like him. The God will help you. We'll have it for you. You be prepared to come and participate with us. And then beyond that, from our Bible study, prayer, can I say the third building block for living a righteous life, the third building block to all things new in you is what we'll just call instant obedience. Now that sounds a little harsh, but what I mean is this, just take the next right step in front of you. When a situation presents itself and you know this is what I would do and this is what Jesus would do, do what Jesus would do. When you read a passage in the Bible and it says, do this, do what Jesus would do. When you read a passage in the Bible and it says, have this attitude, do what Jesus would do. Take the next little right step in front of you instantly, and that step of obedience. When you see a need and you ask, how would God meet this need? Do what Jesus would do. When you see a circumstance where someone needs encouragement, do what Jesus would do. Take the next step of instant obedience, and don't overcomplicate it. Just do the next right thing. So friends, as we come to the end of our message here, the last one of the year, I want to encourage you to stop and to think over this past year and all the ways God has blessed you, all the ways he's been faithful. But then I want to encourage you to stop and take just a moment to make a renewed commitment to be new. New in his word. New in your prayer life, new in your instant obedience, the next right step in front of you. Would you bow with me? With heads bowed for just a moment. For some in this room, maybe you want to end this last service with a time of repentance, and you might want to get on your knees and just talk to God. Others of you might want to end this last service of the year with a time of commitment, and you might want to get on your knees and talk to him. But all of us, I hope, will make a renewed commitment to walk new in him. We've been made new, a new heart, a new mind, a new king ruling over us. We've been given a new covenant that we are now walking under his grace and mercy, a new commandment to live for him. The new spirit, the Holy Spirit at work in us. All the tools you could possibly need to live a holy, righteous, and redeemed life. All that's missing is you and me taking the next right step in front of us. All that's missing is you and me soaking ourselves in the Word of God, getting to know Him more, praying to Him, talking, listening to Him, whatever the case may be. Father God, my prayer is that every person in this room would make a renewed commitment to You. Lord, my friend Konzak taught me a lot that day that I heard that story. But the reality is, Father, Jesus is the King of my heart. But sometimes I do not show Him that amount of honor and deference in my living. So God, my simple prayer of commitment is this. I pray that Jesus goes from just being the King of my heart to the King of my living. May I live in a way that honors the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, give me a passion for Your Word more. Give me a passion to talk to You more. Give me a passion just to live what You tell me to live and stop trying it my own way. My way's wrong. Yours is right. And God, my prayer is that every person in this room would do the same. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.